And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Go ahead and say it, Ed. Go Tigers!
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
You like that? You like that?
F it. Jamar's down there somewhere.
And you're on the same select. Marcus
Davenport. No!
Splash Brothers. Yep.
It's playoff. Get going, Brace.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Welcome to Chasing the Trophy Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Sanders, coming at you here for your Week 13 waiver wire pod. Man, it seems like the season is just flying by. I hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving. We were not able to get with y'all on a start, sit, sleeper graphic or anything over the Thanksgiving holidays. Just really chaotic with all of us and our families and everything going on over the holidays. I apologize for that, but we're going to get back on track this week. We got our waiver pod coming out today on Tuesday, and then we should have a graphic this evening popping up on Facebook, and then we should get back with our start, sit, sleeper pod at the end of the week. But first, I want to go ahead and jump on with our prayer requests and our prayer real quick. But numero uno on the list, happy birthday, Norkay Meredith. Today is Norkay's birthday. You've heard me praying for her for quite some time as she's battling a hepatosplenic T-cell lymphoma. And today she's actually getting some of her checkups and some more extensive chemo. But it's a big day for her because it's her birthday, but also they're checking to make sure to see if the chemo is working like it should be. And we're praying and hoping for complete remission and no evidence of the disease, because then she can move forward and hopefully get a bone marrow transplant if we can find a match, a bone marrow match. So if you follow our Facebook, we had shared before about Be the Match is where you can go and get swabbed to find out if you could be a donor for Norkay. She is one of 30 ever with this type of cancer this type of cancer. It's extremely rare. And like I said, one of 30. And as far as I know, they're still looking for a match for a bone marrow donor, and it is key in her treatment. So if you can go to our Facebook page and scroll down, there should be a Be the Match link, and you can get on there and find out how to get swabbed and send in for to be tested to find out if you're a match for Norkay. Also, the Louisiana Tech stabbings are unfortunate, you know, real unfortunate circumstances with that, but it's seems to be you know, something that with one of the ladies got stabbed, seeing that she graduated from Tech, and that was good to see. And Tech seems to have responded really well to that tragedy, Jonesboro as well, Israel, and then also Mr. Jeff Kennedy. I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in just a little bit before we get started, but let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Lord, just thank you for everything you continue to bless us with, and please be with Norkay, the people, as she's having, you don't want any 5-year-old today having to have a birthday and undergoing cancer treatment on the same day. But if it be your will, Lord, just please bless her and show that the chemo is working, that she doesn't have any of these cancer cells in her body anymore, and just give her complete healing, Lord, and just give her strength and resiliency and courage as you continue to do throughout this whole process, and be with her family as well, Lord, as they're going through this with her. Also be with the Tech families that were all affected by the stabbings, and just continue to heal them and be with them, Lord. Same thing with the families affected with the tragedy in Jonesboro. So it seems to be so much tragedy in the world today, Lord. Just please help convict people to turn to you instead of lashing out and causing more grief and tragedy, Lord. Also, with the people in Israel, just put a hedge of protection over them and help cease this the fighting and the war going on over there. And then also be with Mr. Jeff Candy as he's having some medical medical problems, some healthcare issues from what I've read. Just be with him and his family as they're going through this, Lord. Just help them turn to you, help them understand that everything's for a purpose in your name. And Lord, just please continue to let us go through throughout life, shining light for you. And thank you for everything in this wonderful game that we get to enjoy and love. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. And thank you guys for being available and listening to this podcast, because these people, if you can, pray for them. We appreciate that, and I know they appreciate it as well. We're going to go ahead and get started. First, I want to thank our sponsors, Big Reed Barbecue, Automotive Detailing Solutions, this little piggy barbecue food truck, Mimi's Children's Boutique, and Doug Demona Farm and Feed. We really appreciate you guys supporting us, and our title sponsor for this episode is this little piggy barbecue food truck, or on Facebook, as I found, it's under This Little Piggy LLC, and they're based out of Jonesboro, Louisiana, and they bring some of the best barbecue around to the people. You can find This Little Piggy Barbecue Food Truck and owner Kyle Terrell set up at events and festivals all around Jackson Parish surrounding areas. Keep track of them. Like I said, get on Facebook and follow This Little Piggy LLC, but they have some of the hands down best barbecue brisket and pulled pork. And if you want to try it, or just follow them on Facebook. But actually, I wanted to give them a shout out, an announcement for them. This Saturday, December the 2nd, they're holding a fundraiser for Mr. Jeff Candy to help support him and his medical bills, as he's undergoing some medical issues. But they're going to be in the Old Fred's parking lot in Jonesboro, right across the road from Southern Classic in Jonesboro. They're going to be there on Saturday, December the 2nd, from 11 to 2. It's going to be $15 lunch plates with either pulled pork sandwiches or chicken leg, barbecue chicken leg quarters, two sides, a drink, and a dessert. They stated on Facebook that deliveries are a possibility, pre-orders are welcome, and the pre-orders will not be ready for pickup until 11, though. But reach out to them on Facebook at This Little Pig LLC to find out more information or get in touch with them. But we appreciate you guys supporting us. We want to support y'all. Y'all go out there, if you're listening, go support This Little Piggy and Mr. Jeff Candy on this fundraiser. And we're going to jump on into it with a little bit of news and notes, but mainly Justin Jefferson is returning. Yes, he is going to return. They designate him to return today from the injured reserve. Jonathan Taylor goes down with a thumb injury. He's undergoing a thorough evaluation per the Colts, which sounds a little ominous to me, but a thorough evaluation on his thumb after the game this past weekend. That doesn't sound great. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit more. And then Chris Olave leaves with a concussion. Not great news for the Saints, as their offense was already struggling to begin with. And now Chris Olave goes down with a concussion during the game. You know, he could make it back. We've seen a couple of people do that in a week already this year. I don't know how they're doing it compared to last year. But hopefully he makes it back. If not, then could be more struggles for the Saints offense going forward. And then lastly, Kenneth Walker ended up being ruled out with that oblique injury last week. We kind of had a feeling that was coming. He still, as of today or yesterday and today, is not practicing this week. Dr. Coach Pete Carroll sounded optimistic that holding him out last week would give him a chance to play this week. I believe they play on Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check that real quick for y'all here. Yes, they play Thursday against Dallas at Dallas. Big game for them. So they definitely want to have him back if they can. But if not, you know, we'll find out for sure. Moving on, that pretty much rounds out our news and notes. We're going to go ahead and jump right on into our quarterbacks for the waiver wire for week 13. And number one on the quarterback list has got to be Mr. Dangerous himself, Russell Wilson. I mean, you know, he's only owned in 57.3% of leagues, which is kind of hard to believe, but it's kind of not, because he's kind of been up and down, fairly mediocre this year, but he's going to be at Houston this week. He really didn't have that week, a week that would really blow you away when you look at the stats. But the thing I did notice, he had 11 rushes for 34 yards and a touchdown, which is a nice floor. The last several weeks he's had around, you know, really around like 7 to 8 rushes, give or take. And that's just a nice floor for a quarterback, even if he doesn't have a great day when you have that kind of a rushing floor. Yeah, three of the last 4 weeks, at least 8 rushes. And he had a touchdown last week. Didn't throw for a ton. He still had a touchdown, but no, he's only got 4 interceptions on the year, guys. I mean, I know it's Denver and it's Russell Wilson. It kind of been burned a little bit over the last couple of years, but man, he looks like a solid option going forward this year. But honestly, he did that last week, come up out of nowhere with 18 points against a really stingy, really good Cleveland defense. And now he's going to be on the road, a little bit of a road trip here, but he's going to be at Houston this week, which honestly, it looks like there's a good chance Houston's been playing really well offensively, and Denver could be chasing points this game, which could be very beneficial for Russell Wilson. But also, I'll just read you off his schedule for the rest of the year. Russell Wilson plays at the Chargers, great matchup. At Detroit, great matchup for quarterback. At home against New England, great matchup for quarterback. At home against the Chargers, and then at Las Vegas for the rest of the year. I mean, that is an excellent schedule for the rest of the season. And Russell Wilson's only owned in 57% of leagues. If he's out there, go pick him up. Number two for me is going to be Jordan Love, owned in 48% of leagues. And he's going up against Kansas City this week. He would have been number one on this list if it wasn't for a tougher matchup against Kansas City. But after Kansas City, his schedule eases up a lot for the rest of the year. But honestly, last week at Detroit, he really leaned on his playmakers, got them the ball. They really, everybody on his team made some solid plays on their offense and made Jordan Love look very good. And that's what you want to see from a quarterback. And I don't think that's going to stop for the rest of the year. And honestly, I think that could be beneficial against a tough Kansas City defense. If he just gets them the ball and then they're making plays, I think that could be well for Jordan Love. And not to mention, I think Kansas City's offense eventually gets back on track. They've been struggling a little bit this year. And if they do get back on track, could be a game where Green Bay's trailing in points. And I think Jordan Love plays a lot better when he's trailing in a game. So this could be beneficial for him. And like I said, he's got a favorable schedule for the rest of the year. So I like Jordan Love. And number three, honestly, there's really only two for me, and that's Love and Wilson this week. But number three has got to be Baker Mayfield. There's not a lot of other options. There's some lesser-owned guys that have some tougher matchups that haven't been really consistent. And Baker's been fairly consistent. Now, the only thing is he came out banged up with an ankle injury. He had an MRI, and it was negative. But he's still really sore, so we'll see what happens. But Baker's tough. You know, I'm not a big Baker fan. A lot of people give him a lot of grief, but he is a tough, tough competitor. And if he has a chance, he's going to go. And this week he's going to be at Carolina, who on paper really looks fairly tough against quarterbacks. But if you look at the quarterbacks that they've had success against, they are not very good. And when they have played decent quarterbacks, they given up a fair amount of points to him. So I think if Baker's healthy and good to go, I think he's a solid option with the other two ahead. I like him the least of those three, but I think he's still a solid option compared to what you have on the waiver. And then he's got some good matchups coming up the rest of the year. So I like Baker a lot for the rest of the season after this week too. But that's just going to round out our quarterbacks. Only three this week. And we're going to jump right on to our running backs. There's a fair amount of those, but number one's got to be Zach Moss, guys. You know, with Taylor having that so-what thumb injury, not being uncertain, even if we don't know, I think you got to burn all your fab on Zach Moss, because if it ends up being a season ender, we've already seen Zach Moss be a top 10 running back in this Indianapolis offense whenever Taylor was out. And I don't see any reason to expect that Moss won't pick up where he left off. So if he's out there, pick him up, hang on to him. And there's also nothing for Indianapolis or Taylor to gain by him trying to play through an injury or play hurt. So this could be one of those things where it's like, he's banged up. We're just going to let him ride out the rest of the year without letting him get injured, because, you know, they locked him up with that extension. So I think Zach Moss is a must pick up. He's owned in 58.9% leagues. And then not only that, but he gets a Tennessee matchup that is very good, very good matchup for him. Number two is going to be Chuba Hubbard. Honestly, owned in 48.6% leagues. He's going to be at Tampa Bay. This is really one of those that I don't know. I don't like the situation in Carolina. And honestly, I don't want anything to do with it. But due to the lack of other options this week, and if you're in a bind and you need some help, Hubbard's getting a majority of the pass volume and a good fair amount of run volume. Him and Miles Sanders pretty much split the workload as far as carries, but Chuba Hubbard caught all the passes pretty much for the running backs, and he ended up falling into the end zone, which thrust him to be the running back 11 for the week. So it's a tough matchup against Tampa Bay, but honestly, if you're in a crunch with the bye weeks, you could do worse than Chuba Hubbard on the waiver wire, and I think he's somebody you can pick up play. I don't like him for the rest of the season really at all, but he seems like a decent option. If he gets a touchdown, he could be somebody you'd be glad you played. Number three for me is going to be Antonio Gibson, owned at 44.3% leagues, going up against Miami. Honestly, he would be number two if he had a little bit more of a workload, but he really doesn't. But honestly, this past week, he ended up playing, and for the most, he did the same thing he's been doing most of the season, catching several passes, getting a handful of carries. But honestly, he had a higher snap count and out-snapped Brian Robinson this past week, which is really shocking. But it wasn't the line that you would expect because they were going up against a really tough Dallas defense, guys. He ended up catching three catches for 16 yards, had six carries for 21 yards on the ground against a tough Dallas defense. But now they're going to be going up against Miami, who's a lot more vulnerable defense, but has been playing well of late. But they have a really good secondary like Dallas does, especially of late since Jalen Ramsey's come back. And I almost expect Washington to be chasing points in this game, but I think Gibson and the running backs are going to have a lot more, they're going to have a lot more room to run, more to say, than they did against Dallas. So I think this is going to be a lot better game for Robinson and Gibson in this game. I think it's not going to be as good of a game for like McLaurin or Dodson, I don't know if Sam Howell's going to have that solid of a game, but I think there's a decent chance that Gibson and Robinson have a solid game this week. But I think they're going to be able to take advantage of Gibson in the passing game because he's going to probably have one of the better matchups in this game for their offense. So Tony Gibson at three. Michael Carter is going to be coming in at number four for me. He was on the handcuffs list last week, and honestly, he's not really a handcuff anymore because he came out and pretty much split carries and workload with James Conner. And this, I really think, is one of those instances where Arizona's just wanting to see what they have in Michael Carter and what he can do in this offense if he's somebody that they want to hang on to and carry over into next year. But for the most part, they were getting blown out, which could have something to do with Carter's volume, but I really don't think it did. And honestly, with Connor, they know what they have in Connor. There's no need in him, you know, getting injured or banged up or hurt for next year if they're going to decide to hang on to him. But honestly, there's nothing to hold them back from just benching or resting Connor for the rest of the season. Even if he gets a little banged up, they could just be like, all right, we're done. They're going to let Carter go ahead and get the full volume to see what he can do. And if he does, a full volume in Arizona right now with Kyler Murray really puts him into the low-end RB2 category. So I think Michael Carter's got a somewhat of a flex floor right now and could be in that could be in that RB2 category if they end up sitting James Conner, which I really think they end up might at the end of the year. Number five for me is going to be Keaton Mitchell, owned at 34.9% of leagues. And you know what? He's on a bye. Yeah, that's right. He's a number five for me on the pickup list, but he's on a bye. Yeah, I know that's crazy. Well, you know what's crazy is his efficiency and his workload has been increasing every week. And, I mean, he is, what we said, lightning in a bottle. And even he's going to be on a bye this week, you just got to think that he is going to be even more involved in this offense because the coaching staff cannot ignore his efficiency and with what he's been given. I mean, he is – give me one second. I'm going to pull up his stat line for y'all. But with what he's done, with what he's had, 9 carries for 64 yards, 2 catches for 25 yards for 10 points. I mean, going on a bye and then – I think he's somebody, if you got a room to stash, I think he's somebody down the stretch. He is going to get more workload, and I like him a lot going forward, so that's why he's number six. And number five and number six is going to be another guy on the bye because he came out and looks like he's the guy in Chicago. Roschon Johnson, owned in 22% of leagues. Stash him just like Mitchell. I like Mitchell a lot better because it's a lot better of an offense. But with Justin Fields back, Roschon Johnson looks like he's the guy. And I don't know if it's just they have the best chemistry or what, but he comes in pretty much split carries with Herbert, but got all the passing down work, kind of like – Chuba Hubbard did on his team. Honestly, with Chicago's offense not being that great, it's kind of a hard push. But if you got room to stash him, I think Roschon Johnson could help you out down the stretch. And then just some of the handcuffs to have going down. I'm just going to roll through these guys that have really high upside if their starters get hurt or get benched for rest toward the end of the season. Tajay Spears still for Tennessee, owned in 34.9% leagues. They're going up against Indianapolis. Did not look great this past week, but honestly, their whole offense didn't look great. I think it's just a matter of time till they turn it over to him just to see what he can do with a full workload. Number two is going to be Rico Dowdle, who still has a fairly decent low flex floor for Dallas, but this week they're getting another juicy matchup against Seattle at home. He's still really a high-end handcuff because if they end up deciding to bench Pollard when they clinch, or if Pollard gets banged up or hurt, Dowdle has looked good enough to give you a solid RB2 full RB2 workload. And I think he's well worth the stash, especially if you have Pollard or even if you don't have Pollard. And then last but not least, D'Ernest Johnson for Jacksonville, owned in 0.4% leagues for going up against Cincinnati. Well, we almost seen it happen this last week. ETN left the game briefly with a chest injury, ended up returning, finishing the game. I'm sure he'll be limited this week, but since he came back, I think he'll be fine. But Johnson stepped in admirably and was fairly efficient for ETN. And honestly, if you really haven't noticed, ETN's been slowing down a fair amount the last couple weeks. And I really think that's due to his hot start and heavy workload he's had this year. He's not a big guy, and he's just really it's very taxing for running backs unless you're a big stout guy like somebody like Derrick Henry or Nick Chubb or something like that. And ETN is just not built like that. I think this is starting to wear on him as the season goes, and I think we can start seeing Jacksonville lean a little bit more into Ernest Johnson. And if they end up clinching, I really think we could see Travis Etienne getting a lot of rest down the stretch and them handing it over to Ernest Johnson to to keep Etienne fresh for the playoffs. So, yeah, I think Ernest Johnson is well worth the stash here at the end of the season. And that's going to round out our running backs. We're going to jump right on into wide receivers. Number one's got to be Josh Downs for me. He was on the list last week at number two. Jaden Reed was number one. They're going to flip-flop this week. I still like both of them a lot, but Downs has got to be number one. Owned in 47% of leagues, getting a really good matchup this week against Tennessee, but 13 targets, guys. Josh Downs had 13 targets last week, tied for team lead with Michael Pittman. He wasn't very efficient with those targets. He was only had 5 for 43 on the day, 5 catches for 43 yards. But let's just chalk that up to rusty chemistry with Gardner Minshew since he was hurt and missed all that time, because they really looked like they had something going before he got hurt. I really think with this plus matchup against a terrible Tennessee secondary, I think Downs gets it back going again. And I really think, honestly, for the rest of the season, I think he's a low-end wide receiver too. With that kind of volume, with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, Pittman on the other side, him getting the number two corner every week, and them having some decent matchups down the stretch, I like Josh Downs a lot. I think, I mean, he's a solid flex, but I think he's a low-end wide receiver too if you're having bye issues or injury issues down the stretch. Number two's got to be Jaden Reed. I mean, he did it again this last week. He produced not quite as big a week as what he's been doing, but what we did see was a snap count increase again for a season high 73% snap count. Honestly, I think this is where he's going to probably peak at, because he's not in two wide receiver sets, because that's going to be Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. But I think they do realize what they have in Jaden Reed, and he did lead the Packers in targets this week, and he's had a touchdown in three straight games. Now, whether it be on the air or on the ground, that's two catching receiving touchdowns and one rushing touchdown. I just really think Reed has instilled himself as a playmaker and a go-to player in this offense for Jordan Love, and I think he's going to continue to produce with the opportunity that he's getting. So I like Jaden Reed a lot. Tough matchup this week against Kansas City, but with as creative as they are with Jaden Reed, I still do not think that matters this week. And then number three for me has got to be another guy in this game on the other side of the ball, Rashee Rice, owned in 51.2% leagues, going up against Green Bay. And honestly, I'm just starting to think that Kansas City's just drawing names out of a hat to see who their number one wide receiver is going to be each week. As we've seen Justin Watson it last week, and then this week we got Rashee Rice. Now, the only thing that really makes me feel a little bit more comfortable is we've seen Rashee Rice be fairly reliable for most of the season already this year, but he's never really had that big blow-up game until this week. Well, this is it. He had 10 targets, 8 catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. in this week, this past week, and this week is going to be a fairly tough matchup. Green Bay secondary is actually a lot fairly underrated, but what you get with Kansas City is Travis Kelce garnering a ton of attention and clearing a lot of space for these wide receivers. And if Mahomes and Rashee Rice are finally getting that chemistry and that chemistry going and that cohesiveness, sorry about that, guys, that we've been looking for Mahomes to get in a wide receiver. If they're finally getting that going, I mean, like I said with Watson last week, and I know we're just chasing the points here with Kansas City wide receivers, but whoever it is, if they end up being consistent in that guy, you got to take a chance on him. And I don't know if he's that guy, but you got to chase the volume. And 10 targets, 8 catches for 107 yards, and a touchdown, that's volume you got to chase in a Kansas City offense. So that's my number 3. Number 4 has got to be DeMario Douglas for New England. Honestly, I hope he's not out this week. He probably will be because he's only on 32% of leagues, but last week, he ended up having to leave the game with a concussion, but he was on his way to a really solid afternoon. He had 9 targets, 6 catches for 49 yards before he had to leave the game. The really bad thing is it's his second concussion of the season, which means he's likely to miss a really good matchup this week against the Chargers. Now, if he ends up getting cleared and gets to play, I think you got to pick him up and play him. But I think he's worth a stash because I think down the stretch, if some of your wide receivers are your studs, if their teams end up clinching and they start to rest them and you need somebody to play, DeMario Douglas is going to be your guy because they're not going to punch the playoffs and there you have no reason not to play him unless he ends up getting hurt down the stretch. So I like DeMario Douglas a lot. Number 5 for me as a pickup, the last pickup is going to be Curtis Samuel. He's owned in 35.3% of leagues. This week he's going up against Miami. Now, I don't think he's somebody that you're going to want for the rest of the season. I don't think he's the number 1 wide receiver in Washington now because he had a big week last week. But I do think that there could be similar results this week against Miami because their defense is so similar to Dallas's, where they have a strong secondary and they force you to attack like with your third wide receivers and your running backs out of the backfield. And that's kind of what Washington did last week. We're using Samuel as their number 3 out of the backfield and as a number 3 wide receiver attacking the weakest cornerback on that team. And I don't think he repeats, but I think he has a similar line because last week he had 12 targets, 9 catches for 100 yards. And I really expect McLaurin to get a lot of the attention from Jalen Ramsey. And then Jahan Dotson's going to get the second quarterback. That's going to leave Samuel with a third option. And then they're going to be moving him around all over the formation. I really think Samuel has another good week. And not only that, but we know Miami's going to probably score fairly easily against the Washington defense because Miami's offense is extremely good. So I think Washington's going to be chasing points in this game, kind of like they were against Dallas. And I really think that's going to be good for Curtis Samuel. And we've already seen Sam Howell very confident and very content to throw the ball to Curtis Samuel as much as he needs to move the ball. So I like this, and I think this is a good chance for Curtis Samuel to repeat production again. So like that a lot. And then some deep league speculative ads or handcuffs, wide receiver, Jackson Smith and Jigba, JSN, still producing with a low, you know, around about flex floor. Nothing's really changed here. He's still the number 1 handcuff in the NFL to me because if Metcalf or Lockett get hurt, he's jumping right into the wide receiver 2 value for sure with an injury on there. He's got serious upside. I mean, he's having production as the third wide receiver in an offense that's not that pass heavy. Number 2 for me has got to be Tutu Atwell. He's owned in 24.2% of leagues. This week he's got a tough matchup. They're up against Cleveland, but he is a prime handcuff for Kupp or Nacua because we've already seen him be low-end wide receiver 2, like a low-end wide receiver 2 in this offense with Nacua already. Or Kupp, whichever one. If either one of them get hurt, Tutu Atwell is somebody that I think could have really good value going down the stretch. And he is a very boom or bust player as it is. Not getting a lot of value, not getting a lot of opportunity right now, but he's still productive when he does. So I like Tutu Atwell as my number 2, like wide receiver handcuff. And number 3 has got to be Greg Dortch, guy that's reemerging from the ashes, regular Phoenix from last year, because he was fairly successful last year whenever Kyler Murray was playing, and he's only owned in 0.3% of leagues. He's going to be at Pittsburgh this week, but he's had at least 8 targets the last 2 games, and he might have already supplanted Rondell Moore as the wide receiver 2 on this team with Kyler Murray under center. And if anything were to happen to Marquise Brown, with the chemistry Dortch and Murray already have, I mean, he could easily be a wide receiver 2 immediately in an Arizona offense that everybody's pretty much poo-pooed on most of the season because they hadn't been that great. But with Kyler Murray back, this offense has been fairly productive for fantasy reasons. And that's not to mention his big playability and his production on special teams. He runs back, kicks some punts, and he takes one of those to the house. You're getting points for that too. So I think with his opportunity, I think he's somebody you could pick up and stash on the bench in deeper leagues and even leagues if you have like Marquise Brown. I think he's a solid person to have as a handcuff. And that's going to round out my wide receivers. We're going to roll right on into our tight ends. And it's still a barren wasteland of despair because that's what I'm calling this column. But there's a couple options this week that I do like. Number one's got to be Pat Freiermuth, owned in 42% leagues for Pittsburgh. He's going up against Arizona this week. But honestly, I mean, he almost made the list last week, but I looked at his stats, and he hadn't had more than 4 targets in a game all season. And I should have known when they went and fired Matt Canada as their offensive coordinator that a lot was going to change, and Pat Freiermuth's inclusion in the game plan was going to be one of those things, and it was. I mean, I'm sure Pittsburgh – I mean, honestly, it was like they didn't even remember that he was playing on their team for a while. I mean, with a maximum 4 targets, it's really embarrassing for somebody that's one of the most up-and-coming tight ends in the league. But – after they fired Matt Canada, they came to their senses and started focusing on getting him the ball. And he had 11 targets, 9 catches for 120 yards last week. And I don't know if that volume is going to be that high every week, but I do think a majority of it is here to stay. So I think you need to pick up Pat Freiermuth if he's available. And I think he's somebody that you can replace Mark Andrews with very easily. And with bye weeks this week, I've got a couple tight ends on bye. I wish he was available in the league that I need him in, but he's not. But he's definitely a solid option, I think, for the rest of the season now that they got a new offensive coordinator. Number 2 for me is at tight end's got to be Juwan Johnson for New Orleans. Honestly, we thought A.T. Perry or Rashid Rice were going to be – I mean Rashid Rice. Rashid Shaheed were going to be the beneficiaries of the Michael Thomas injury. But honestly, it kind of looks like Juwan Johnson might be that guy. He's only owned at 8.3% of leagues, but this week he's going to be going up against Detroit. And, I felt like he was really never going to get it going this year because we thought we had high hopes for him early on, and then he kind of got hurt, and then he just kind of disappeared. But with Olave leaving with a concussion, Thomas already on the IR, Rashid Shaheed coming out with a thigh injury, there's a ton of opportunity to be had. And last week he had 7 targets, 4 catches for 45 yards. But I really think that they continue to lean on him even more heavily going forward. Even if Olave comes back, there's a lot of targets being left out there on the table. And he is an athletic pass-catching tight end, and I think he's got a good chance to be really productive for them going down the stretch. So I like Juwan Johnson for the rest of the season as well. And then last but not least, and this is more of just a streaming option this week, Tyler Conklin, owned at 17.4% leagues, has a plus matchup this week with an inexperienced quarterback at Tim Boyle behind under center. He's going up against Atlanta, who's one of the worst defenses in the league against quarterbacks. And really, a lot of teams have found out the best way to move the ball against Atlanta is through the air. And I think that's going to benefit Garrett Wilson and Tyler Conklin tremendously this week. It's probably going to be another one of those snooze fest games where it's going to be like, you know, like the Monday night game with Minnesota and Chicago, where it was like, what was it, 12-10? And I think this is going to be another one of those games. But I think Tyler Conklin has a decent chance to have like a 6-for-60 game, which is more than what you can ask for from your tight end position. So I like him a lot this week. And then that's going to round out our tight ends. I'm going to give you a couple streaming defenses this week and then a couple kickers, and then we're going to close it out. But streaming defense, I know it's kind of funny. I was just talking about this, but Atlanta's defense against New York Jets or New York Jets defense against Atlanta. I think both of them are going to have a good game. The Jets are starting Tim Bull. Atlanta starting Desmond Ridder. Neither one of them are really putting up a bunch of points. Both their defenses have been fairly successful. Atlanta's not as much as New York as the Jets, but I like the Jets a lot better than Atlanta's. But either one I think could be beneficial this week. And then last but not least, I like the Rams a lot against Cleveland. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, their rookie quarterback got hurt, so now P.J. Walker's back in there. He was their third option. The Rams' defense is playing better of late. Matthew Stafford's back, moving the ball, giving the defense a little bit better of a break. I think the Rams' defense at home against Cleveland is a great streaming option for this week. And then not to mention you got Tutu Atwell running on special teams, which is always a chance to bust one for your special teams. And then kickers, really, Brandon McManus came through for me last week, had a great week. This week he's going to be at home against Cincinnati. I like him a lot again this week, and he's owned in like 30% of leagues. And then Jason Sanders from Miami, he's only owned in like 19% of leagues. I like him a lot this week at Washington. Not the best environment, but honestly, I think Miami is going to move the ball fairly easily against Washington. And if Washington gets lucky and stops them some, as much as Miami's been running the ball, it's going to contribute to a lot of field goal opportunities for Jason Sanders, and he's been fairly reliable this year for Miami, so I like him a lot this week. Thank y'all, everybody listening. We really appreciate y'all. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, and give us your feedback on your podcast application of choice. We really appreciate everybody. Please go out and support our listeners. Support our sponsors. We really appreciate y'all. And don't forget about the barbecue, this little piggy barbecue food truck being set up for Mr. Jeff Kennedy's fundraiser on Saturday, December the 2nd from 11 to 2, the Old Fred's parking lot across the road from Southern Classic. And please don't forget to keep in your thoughts and prayers our prayer request, Norke Meredith. Happy birthday again, the Tech stabbing victims, Jonesboro, Israel, and Mr. Jeff Kennedy himself. And we'll be coming at y'all, back at y'all later on this week with our Start Sit Sleeper Pod. And be looking for the graphic and keep an eye out for those waiver wire targets that you got this week. Good luck with everything. Keep chasing that trophy, and we'll catch y'all later on this week.
This ain't how it's supposed to be. It should be just you and me.
I feel good from the night. This way I'm around.